Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 9th, 40th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the old timer. You really are you? Yeah, yes, you are. Old timer on the board of supervisors, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
I was thinking more of tenure time served, but.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah.
You're also the old timer.
I guess I am the oldest on the board. That's a little scary, huh?
And by a significant margin, too.
Well, no, I think.
Cliff's not that close to you.
Yeah, he's a couple years younger as all.
Really?
Yeah, he's getting up there. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe that apple a day.
We park our walkers together.
Yeah. this afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Jimmy's experiences last week in Lolita as we try to reinvigorate a community that has a lot of passion. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, wind energy seems to be controversial. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. We'll find out if it's a NIMBY syndrome or not. And also get an update on the crab season. I'm thinking crab when we come back.
Think salmon.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith, Supervisor Smith. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from David Hume. Quote, "Beauty in things lies in the mind which contemplates them." Mm-hmm. Don't think too long about that. It'll become too beautiful and overcome you. Yeah. You don't think so either.
Okay. Well, it was beautiful outside. I was talking to Dan, and there were geese flying over and songbirds.
That's because he's such a horrific shot. They know the safest place is to fly right over him.
It's beautiful out there. It's a great day.
You're not even going to play, are you? Okay, fine. Let's talk a little bit about crab and fish. Last couple of times I've run to Southern Humboldt, it's either looks like the old days or looks like the summer, because the beaches on the river that I can see are full of trucks, a lot of folks. But there's no keg going on, and there's no beach balls going on. Mm-hmm. But there are a bunch of guys in boats and waders going on. What are we seeing? A good old-fashioned winter run of salmon?
You're seeing, I think, the latter part, the very last part of the salmon run. But you're seeing what I'm hearing is a very robust steelhead run in the eel. Some of the other rivers, too. You know, it's great that you mentioned that, because a few days ago, I was sending some observations along from a good friend of mine that travels between, he's a crab fisherman, travels between where he lives in Fort Bragg and where his boat is here in Eureka. And he knows the river well, and he'd made some observations about late-run king salmon, which I think we talked about maybe a couple weeks ago. And he saw a lot of really huge fish in this one section of river. So I did a little pass the note along to my friend with Fish and Game, Scott Downey, who I've worked with on restoration projects for a lot of years, and he is really knowledgeable about the eel. He has family property there and has done a lot of really good work. So I sent this note on to Scott, and I said, Scott, you know, Jack Carlson stopped, and he looked in this certain section of river, and he saw what he reckoned to be just slightly over 50 fish, all of which happened to be king salmon, from Jack's on up to what he said were approaching 40-pound fish. Well, Scott confirmed that. He said, late in the year, this year, we saw a good surge of fish that held up for whatever reason during that low water period, which was a semi-drought. And when the water came up, those fish bolted for the tributaries and the upper stretches of the river.
So the rain from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah, actually sent a late portion of the run up into those upper tributaries, which we had all hoped for because that's where they survive the very best. They get in those tribs, they're out of the big flushes, they don't, the reds or the nests don't get destroyed by high water and a lot of siltation. So that was part of the good news. The other good news was that they have really robust numbers of coho salmon in the Eel this year, and those fish are spawning all over the place. So Scott's news was really good, and I'm always giving people a bad time for not. When you get good news about things, the sacrifices that have been made by the timber companies that really have good management practices, the people who at times have to withdraw water in our neighborhoods, and they have to monitor things really well to make sure they have adequate resources for fisheries, tell them that those sacrifices have meant something to the resources that are dependent on water.
So, why aren't you sharing what part of the river they were in?
Where those fish were? Actually, those...
It's been 10 or 17 days now.
Yeah.
They're those probably salmon out of there.
Those salmon at that time were up in the Piercy, up near the border of Mendocino. So, yeah, they'd made it up that far, and then the water got pretty low, and they were not comfortable, I guess, moving on up. But now they have, and so that's good news.
Is this predicted?
Actually, last year, as you know, the Eel had a record run. And this year the hope was because of the number of jacks, which are sort of the predictor. They're the two-year-olds that return to the system prematurely, but they are mature sexually. They're only 2 years old. The numbers were good, so we expected fair numbers of fish, and it went well beyond our expectations. So we set a new record this year. I mean, it would be great if we met what the conditions or the environment or the habitat would accommodate, because the Eel has almost as much as a klamath. And if we reached the level that the klamath has, we could really dilute the klamath factor, and we would have, again, the fisheries that really boosted the economy in this area.
So this was almost anticipated?
To some degree, yes.
With the return of the jacks?
Yes.
This year?
Yeah.
What is in the cards for...
Looks good.
Next cycle? Okay.
Looks good.
To the point where, now that's almost a full cycle, is there some stability starting to happen, or is this still a trend or maybe an anomaly?
I'm hoping for stability as much as possible, and I'm sure everyone else is. You know, we still have the La Nina effect in the ocean, so the cool currents, cool waters are there. One of the offshore buoys, 300-mile buoys, in fact, 250, last night had 48, 50-degree water. So there are huge cells of cool water offshore, and if we get the upwellings to produce the krill and the food, a good wet spring now, which we need to get the little ones out of the river again, and hopefully we'll see the storm track go so that we've got good snowpack, which we don't have now in the Sierras. But I think the Cascades are seeing it.
In buckets.
So we'll see it in the Klamath system, hopefully the snowpack, but we need it in the Sierras now for the Central Valley.
KINS News and Information Time is 4:24. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 427. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Crabmeister, Jimmy Smith.
It seems to me you are a little crabby, didn't you?
No. Then call me a cannibal.
Well.
Not accountable. A cannibal.
Okay.
Because I know what I'm going to have tonight.
Are you having crab?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about going and putting some pots out myself.
Without the kids being around, it's real simple. All we need is three of them. It's no big deal. Just go down and...
I might do that.
Have somebody do the twist, the easy opening can, the Bubba Smith line, right, from the beer commercials.
Yeah.
So we get three easy opening cans of crab and sit around, pick it, have a little bit of lettuce, and call it done.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, nothing fancy. Yeah. The thing I can't figure out, how people like other crab rather than the Dungeness.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've tried, the king crab, it's like eating air.
Yeah, it's okay.
And the soft shell, I don't want my crab to crunch. That's called a mistake in my book.
Yeah. Something's wrong with that animal.
Yeah, I missed something somewhere. And all the various other crabs that I've tried, it's like nothing... It doesn't taste like crab to me. I don't know. Yeah. I guess I must be a crab snob, too.
No, I agree with you. There isn't anything better than Dungeness. It's the best.
I saw something. A couple guys landed a boat in Brookings or in Harbor, and they had 63,000 pounds on it.
Mm-hmm.
But over 200,000 for that one all-time record.
The vessel dynamic.
Is that the level of crabs that are out there that are filled out that people are bringing in now?
That's a high production vessel.
I would appreciate that. Yeah,
the old commissioners in up in Harbor, I think, belongs to Lloyd Whaley, who actually I fished around, and I won't tell you how many years ago that was because you've already referred to me as old.
The senior, yeah. Well, okay, so you're an experienced crabber,
but,
too.
It's one of Commissioner, at least I'm told, it's one of Commissioner Whaley's boats up there, and they're a high-production vessel, and that's a big load for any boat. What they brought in, whether it was one trip or two, it was still a lot of crab. But the crabbing's been good. It's been very good this season.
Seems like there's a lot of ships offshore at nighttime.
There are. They work 24 hours now. It's a boost up from what it was in the old days when people went out in the morning, delivered their product in crates, and then the crates went into trucks and they went up and down the coast. Now they're all live tanked, and boats like the one you just described and a lot of others simply fish into, they flood the hull of the vessel. It's contained inside down in the hull, and they have large pumping systems. They circulate seawater, and they can stay on the water and work 24-hour shifts when the weather's accommodating, and then they come in with a large load if the fishing's good. And this year, it's been very good so far.
Do you think it's going to be a long season or run later this year before the guys change out?
A couple things. That's going to be related for the average size boat, the salmon season, what happens. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And what happens typically in the decline of the fishery is the legal crabs are caught.
Versus the illegal crabs that are caught? We'll worry about it later. Frito Bandito, he lives on in my mind. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith, Humboldt County Supervisor for 10, 11 more talk shows. Yeah, probably. Well, maybe 15.
Oh, no, I think more because you're gonna
on a high rotation now. Yeah,
higher rotation because you have candidates.
Yeah. Well, and all the department heads.
Of which I'm not.
And all the department heads are much smarter, so they say no or they don't answer the phone when it calls. Oh, hey, can you do
that? We know how to track them down. We can do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Klamath Minimum Zone.
Yeah.
I know that there's been... It's interesting for me, having Jill have been here, you been here, your guys' experience in the water, how... A topic that seemed to be something that nobody wanted a piece of for a really, 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 really long time when the grunt work was going on. All of a sudden now everybody wants to be associated with it. I suppose that's a sign of good, but it's got to be more than curious to you.
Yeah, getting everybody on board to move forward with what they think is going to be good is, well, it's still got a fair amount of controversy. I mean, there are even some of the tribes that are in disagreement, even though I think in the longer term the fishery will improve and it'll be beneficial for all the tribes that are dependent on the economy related to the rivers, whether it's the Trinity or the Klamath, and the counties too. You know, Siskiyou County is still not supportive of dam decommissioning. They are, however, happy to see the very successful runs in up in Siskiyou County in the Scott and the Shasta Rivers, the two largest tributaries, aside from the Trinity, of course.
But so if they're not in favor of the dam removal, but they're seeing some of the benefits of the activity leading up to the dam removal, how can you be on both sides of something at the same time and not really get hurt?
Well, I think they're supportive of the good things like we've done through our regional group of counties, and we were able to put in some very energy efficient water efficiency programs to move water around through the agricultural areas and bring down pumping costs, bring up the amount of water that might be available for fisheries, but meet all the needs for agriculture as best as possible, too. They're very supportive, and we've got a good team. But they also have, in their county, they've got some of the impoundments that, one, they've got some housing along those shorelines, and they're going to lose their waterfront property, no doubt about that. And there are some recreational activities that are clearly associated with having those water bodies.
So there's a concern that the net impact is going to be a loss of economic viability that currently exists?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And then when you lose, you've got right within your own county, you've got the hydropower that is generated at those facilities. That's going to go away too, and there'll be...
But isn't there a reimbursement or a compensation for that occurring, or are they just... lose?
I think that they'll have to get those power resources from the same companies, but it won't be out of their own hydro projects, which have been subsidized to a certain degree over the years. That will change when they have to go to a regular on the grid, I'm sure.
But there's no financial compensation for...
There is in a requested mitigation package, and I don't recall what the numbers are, but I think there is a build-in for that, and there are requests to make it more substantial. I don't know how in the end. That'll be up to Ryan's working, Sundberg's working very hard on that, and Jill, as you know, we've retained
her. She's still in there.
She's working on the on every detail in that climate agreement.
So if the Siskiyou folks are feeling that way, they're not at the end. What about the Klamath County folks? Are they on board with this?
Some are, yeah. As a matter of fact, when the agreement was forged and they brought on some of the ag people who were like, remember the Kindra case versus the state and the Coho, I was asked to represent Humboldt, and I went up to the court ordered mediation, and they were adamantly opposed. That was during, of course, the really high profile water wars. But when they sat down at the table and tried to come up with an agreement that gave them a sustainable amount of water, they agreed to those philosophically, I think. And then when they came up with the detail, they signed on. There's still some disagreement with some of the agricultural folks up there. And I'm hopeful that over time, with good people like Ryan involved and a lot of the tribal members and businesses and ag communities and Jill, that they'll come up with a formula that will allow them sustainable agriculture, allow them to have the municipal needs that they need, and still have water that's going to be productive for the fisheries and the jobs that are all dependent on that throughout the basin.
You mentioned the water wars. It's almost nostalgic now.
Yeah, yeah.
How real is it? I mean, we've had Carol Riesch mm-hmm. from the Water District.
Brilliant lady.
Talk about the inevitability. We've had people over the years talk about that this is coming, you know, the situation with the eel.
Yes.
And the 100-year-old diversion.
Yes.
Still referred to as the Russian River. I still cringe every time I cross that stupid bridge to see Russian River instead of southbound Eel River water. But that's okay. That's just Humboldt County.
It's a conveyance system for a certain portion of Eel.
Yeah, it's a canal.
Yeah, that's true.
We see the dams pumping a lot of the water down the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's endemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's historical now. It is what it is. But the lack of the compensation still gets a lot of us. Is there any movement whatsoever, either from the wine guys that get the benefit out of the Russian or the Sonoma Water District? Anybody through the valley that's getting the water out of Shasta or Whiskey Town or Trinity, getting that diversion? Any talk at all about compensation for the, I guess the phrase in criminal justice is county of origin for the water. Is there anything brewing on that at all?
Not in terms of compensation. You know, we have not even, as hard as we've tried with what I think is a very powerful coalition of people in Humboldt and Trinity County and the tribes. The Hoopas have been really active, the Yuroks, the Karuks, to try and get that 50,000 acre feet, which could be money for Humboldt County back. And it seems like, at least in the latest correspondence I have from Reclamation, and this is fairly recent, that they're leaning now to not recognizing that, whereas before we had a fairly strong sense coming from the administration that we might be positioned to go ahead and receive that water.
And this is the Obama administration?
Yes. But within that administration, coming from the resources or interior end, we're worried now that we may not get the positive word that we want on the 50,000. On the Sonoma, Mendocino, Humboldt end, though, and the real work that we did with trying to come up with a recommended and prudent alternative, which we've talked about a lot of times before, we were able, with all of those groups, including Friends of the Eel and Caltrout and the Round Valley tribes, to get that 15% locked back. So we actually, for the first time in history, at least as long as I know about it, we recaptured part of the flow out of the Russian back into the eel system.
Not just during the high flow seasons.
No. It's allocated over a period of time when it's appropriate, and it's been acknowledged by the flows historically in those tributaries and downstream. It's actually closer to 30%.
KINS, News and Information Time, 4:45. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:48, final couple minutes of the afternoon spent with Mr. Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, Lolita is one of those communities that has historical use. It has changing use. It has agriculture use. It has a whole bunch of uses, but it's ignored and forgotten by a vast majority of the area. Is there viability in having a business district in Lolita other than the one or two businesses that are currently there?
I think there is. And, you know, I want to really applaud the work of the Chamber of Commerce and the leaders in the community that Peter Vanderzee and Jeannie, who have worked really hard there on their new bakery and a number of other businesses they have, the grocery store, and people like Bob LaFranchi. Bob's got a Lolita cheese, and he runs his own dairy operation. And last night at the Lolita meeting, we were talking about, here's a community that's beautiful, ag, wonderful people, and Bob's got $1 million payroll right in the middle of a very rural area that's got all this beauty. So is there more potential? Yeah.
Well, the Creamery demonstrated that there was potential.
Yes.
But that was some time ago.
Well, it's growing. The people that are there now are making that happen. You look at grass-fed beef right over the hill. Wherever you look around Lolita, you can see people are innovative, and they're pouring their savings and their resources into the lands to make sure that we have sustainable agriculture and more tourism. There's some big bike races headed for Lolita. More accommodations all the time.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You left the clock run out from under you.
Yes, it did.
Just like you were hoping. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Ask him why if you see him on the street. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow. That's good.